Exodus chapter 29, please. We're going to do some looking at the last two verses of this chapter. We have spent quite a bit of time in the 29th chapter because it's the consecration of the priests. But I think it's significant as to what the Bible says in the last two verses of Exodus chapter 29. It says this in verses 45 and 46. "And I will dwell among the children of Israel, and will be their God. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God, that brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, that I may dwell among them, I am the Lord their God." I think it's significant that that is what it says right after it talks about the consecration of the priests and the consecration and the sanctification of the tabernacle, that God then says, "And I will dwell among them." Remember, as we started this, you go back to earlier chapters, and it says where God wants to dwell among them. And now you come to this portion when this has all been said, the tabernacle is sanctified, and God says, "And I will dwell among you." So here in 29:46, we are again reminded of the theme of the book of Exodus. Did you notice that? Remember that the theme is the main idea. A theme, I like to always express a theme in one sentence, a one-sentence description of what the author is communicating. What does God want people to know from this book that he inspired Moses to write? So as we think about that tonight, and I don't know how this is going to turn out. Yeah, bright green. I hope it turns up okay. I mess with color sometimes for the fun of it. Here it is again in 29:46, "And they shall know that I am the Lord their God." Let's do some review here, and I hope this is helpful. Go back to chapter 3, because God wants Moses to know. God wants Moses to know that he is the Lord God. Remember when he meets Moses on this mount for the first time? And Moses says, "Well, who should I say sent me?" And so forth. Well, let's look at this in chapter 3 and verse 13. "And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say unto me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them?" God wants Moses to know who he is. Moses had to learn the answer, not to question. Verse 11, go back to verse 11. What is Moses' question in verse 11? "And Moses said unto God," three words. Who am I? The question is not, folks, who am I, but who is the Lord? And that's what God wants Moses to learn, and we need to learn the same. Not only does God want Moses to know, he wants Pharaoh to know. Do you remember this? Go to chapter 5 and look at verse 2 at the question put forth by Pharaoh when he confronts Moses. "And Pharaoh said," chapter 5 and verse 2, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." Wow, he's quite frank about what he knows. "I don't know him." And in fact, he almost asks impetuously, "Well, who is he that I should know him? Who is this God?" That's still a question today that people have. Who is the Lord? You know what? God wants rulers of this world to know who he is. The king of Assyria sent his servants in 2 Chronicles chapter 32 and verse 9 to dissuade Judah in Hezekiah's day. "And the servants of Sennacherib spake against the God of Jerusalem as against the gods of the people of the earth, which were the work of the hands of men." They spake against the God of heaven just as people would speak against idols. Did those men come to know who God was when in one night over 185,000 of them were slain? God desired that Pharaoh would know. You're here in 5:2, go to 7:17. "Thus saith the Lord, in this," speaking to Pharaoh, "thou shalt know that I am the Lord." And then he talks about how he's going to let him know that he's the Lord. Look at chapter 8, verses 9 and 10. "And Moses said unto Pharaoh, Glory over me. When shall I entreat for thee and for thy servants and for thy people to destroy the frogs? Remember the plague of frogs from thee and thy houses, that they may remain in the river only. And he said, tomorrow. And he said, be it according to thy word, that thou mayest know that there is none like unto the Lord our God. Moses or Pharaoh, you're going to get to know who God is. Look at verse 22 of the same chapter. I will sever in that day the land of Goshen in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies, now we're in the plague of flies, shall be there. In the end, thou mayest know what? That I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. Pharaoh, you're going to get to know who I am. Chapter 9 and verse 14. For I will at this time send all my plagues upon thine heart and upon thy servants and upon thy people, that thou mayest know that there is none like me in all the earth. Pharaoh, you're going to get to know me. Verse 29. And Moses said unto him, unto Pharaoh, as soon as I am gone out of the city, I will spread abroad my hands unto the Lord, and the thunder shall cease, neither shall there be any more hail. Here we go again. That thou mayest know how that the earth is the Lord's. You would think that after the first plague, he would know. But he would not give in. You know what? You may get to know the Lord like Moses did. Or it may be like Pharaoh did by opposing him. The men who oppose God are going to get to know him. God wants his chosen to know. Go back to chapter 6. God wanted this communicated not only to Pharaoh, but to the people he had chosen. Chapter 6 and verse 2. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. Look at verses 6 to 8. Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out of from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. And I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you into the land concerning the which I did swear to give it to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I will give it to you for an heritage. Here we go again. I am the Lord. But the people were not willing to listen. Verse 9. Moses spake so unto the children of Israel, but they hearkened not unto Moses for anguish of spirit, for cruel bondage. Why? For the same reason people won't listen today. Anguish of spirit, cruel, bond, circumstances. Why would a good God do something like this? God's people can come to a place where they feel like they've been forgotten, and Israel is in that place here, as if they've been forgotten. What had happened? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, they all knew God. God's revelation comes to individuals. When you see this, you'll see this in Genesis chapter 15 and verse 7, where God revealed himself to Abraham, then to Isaac, then to Jacob. No more until you get to the book of Exodus. Joseph knew God. The children of Jacob, Israel, had found relief from the famine in Egypt. Their brother was second in command. There were 7 years of abundance. Then there were 7 years of famine. Privileges like no one else had. No doubt they got comfortable. Why should we leave Egypt? The very place from which they sought relief became their oppressor. God wants his people to know who he is. God wants all the Egyptians to know. Not just Pharaoh, not just the children of Israel, not just Moses, but all of the Egyptians. Look at chapter 7 and verse 5. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I stretch forth mine hand upon Egypt, and bring out the children of Israel from among them. Not only that, let's go to the next one. God wants all the earth to know. Not just these we've mentioned, but all the earth. Look at chapter 9 and verse 16. And in very deed for this cause have I raised thee up, for to show in thee my power, and that my name may be declared throughout all the earth. Now, there's a parallel in Romans chapter 9, and I'd like you to see this, Romans chapter 9, verses 13 to 17, where Paul is making some arguments, and he refers to Pharaoh in his arguments. Romans chapter 9, verses 13 to 17. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. Now look at this, verse 15. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, notice, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. This is just review. But we need to understand this as we seek to understand what we're seeing in Exodus chapter 29. All throughout the book of Exodus, God so orchestrates circumstances and events to demonstrate to both his own and to his enemies what? I am the Lord. He could have Moses teach it to the people. You know what? I could get up here and I could preach a sermon on how you need to get to know the Lord, but you know how it's going to happen? Through circumstances and experiences. The most effective teacher is circumstances, where God's power is demonstrated to you in your life. But here's the way I pray that I'll know it, is by reading God's word. And that I will accept it from his word so that God doesn't need to wake me up with some circumstances. Here is a biblical principle, folks. You will either come to know the Lord through his mercy. Children of Israel did. Or you will come to know him through judgment. Just as Pharaoh in Egypt did. In one of two ways, you will come to know the Lord. Even as a believer who has forgotten, even as a child of God, even as his people here in the book of Exodus. You've been reading in Ezekiel in your Bible readings, right? If anybody's following along in Ezekiel, okay, in the Bible readings, chronological Bible readings, how many of you are following that right now? Good bit of you, okay. Have you noticed a statement? This is one of the reasons I'm bringing this up tonight. Have you noticed a statement that's been repeated in Ezekiel time and time and time again? In fact, it's found mostly between chapters 25 and 32. G. Campbell Morgan said, those who fail to find God in the light of his revelation of himself by law or in the natural order, he brings to know him through judgment. All through Ezekiel, 65 times, if you've been counting, and I know you haven't, so I did it for you. Ye or they shall know that I am the Lord. Here's the references if you want them real quick. You gonna write them down? But we could go to those references in every one of those 65 times, which you see that time and again, says. Time and again, God says, you will know that I am the Lord. They shall know that I am the Lord. Keep your eyes open as you're reading through the book of Ezekiel. So the dominant theme, as we well know, in the book of Exodus has to do with knowing God. God answers in Exodus the question that men have. Who is the Lord? Who is he? And when you get to Exodus chapter 15, if you're there in the earlier parts, if you go to Exodus chapter 15, you get... all of this leads up in their deliverance from Egypt to the song unto the Lord in chapter 15 and verse 1. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. This is after they come through the Red Sea, miraculously delivered. The God who they thought had abandoned them, the God they did not know, they now sing praises unto, and we can learn much about God in their song, especially when you come to verse 11. Can you read verse 11 with me out loud, please? Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like unto thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Who is he? Well, who is like unto him? There is none like unto him. Again, we read of God's revelation to individuals, to Abraham. God said to Abraham, I am the Lord that brought thee out of the Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit. He said to Isaac, the Lord appeared unto him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee, and I will bless thee and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. Then to his son Jacob, I am God Almighty, and the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac to thee will I give it, and to thy seed after thee will I give the land. Now to the children of Israel in chapter 20, what happens in chapter 20 where he says, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. What is it that God gives to the children of Israel in Exodus chapter 20? The Ten Commandments. And the basis of the Ten Commandments is, I am the Lord thy God. I am the Lord thy God. The basis, the foundation for the Ten Commandments and the law itself is that they understand something. I am the Lord thy God. So even before they begin building the tabernacle, even before Moses gets the instructions for building the tabernacle, God wants them to understand something through the commandments. I am the Lord thy God. More and more, folks, this is being neglected. This whole idea of getting to know God is being neglected. God desires that we get to know him. God reveals himself to the children of Israel so that they have a knowledge of who he is. Chapters 1 to 19 of Exodus. God further desires that those who know who he is have a relationship with him. Chapters 20 to 40. That's an easy way to break down this book. Chapters 1 to 19. God reveals himself. Chapters 20 to the end of the book, God desires that those who know who he is have a relationship with him. So it's not just Pharaoh, you need to get to know me, but you know what? When you truly get to know God, that's when you have a relationship with him. But we're not done yet. The book of Exodus, the book of commands and instructions concerning the construction of the tabernacle. Then you come to chapter 29, verse 45 and 46, when God expresses his desire of dwelling with them. So are you there in 29, 45, and 46? Keep your finger there and go to the end of the book, Exodus chapter 40. Tabernacle's not built in 29. Only the instructions are given. But now in chapter 40, the tabernacle is built. And here's what we read in verse 34. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And when the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward in all their journeys. But if the cloud were not taken up, then they journeyed not till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and fire was on it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. God does take up residence now with his people. God desires that that continues with us, his people, today. That we might know who he is, that's revelation. That we might have a relationship with him. And how do we have a relationship with him? With the children of Israel, there is this tabernacle. Of whom does the tabernacle speak? And what takes place in a tabernacle? It's Jesus Christ. We have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. So you've got the revelation. You've got the relationship that God desires that we have with him through Christ. How does he take up residence with us? If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. I will come to you and I will dwell in you. That's why as we study the tabernacle, and I'm trying to bring this all together, that we see what God desires in that he might dwell within us. So Exodus begins in Egypt in slavery under Pharaoh, heeding Pharaoh, listening to him. It begins in powerful Egypt. Egypt does not know who God is. But the book of Exodus ends in the tabernacle, in freedom, under Moses, heeding God, and Egypt has been humbled. Egypt knowing who God is. And in 29:46, they shall know that I am the Lord their God that brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, that I may dwell among them. I am the Lord their God. By miraculously delivering Israel and destroying the Egyptian army, Israel learned that part of verse 46. And I've purposely, that's why it looks like it's off. Because the rest of the verse is going to come in here in just a second. But I want you to see that part of it. They shall know that I am the Lord their God that brought them forth out of the land of Egypt. When God brought them out of the land of Egypt, it was a one-time deliverance. God delivered them. A deliverance that would not be appreciated by later generations. Let's read something that took place just 90 years later. Okay, you've got the book of Exodus. What's the next book? No? Leviticus? Dave, you need to teach some other people the books of the Bible. Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Then what? Okay, now you're getting into Joshua. And that's obviously 40 years after this, so you got 40 years. The events of Joshua take place. You come to the end of the book of Joshua, then what book is it? Let's go to the book of Judges chapter 2. So just about 90 years later, here's what's happening. Do the children of Israel know who God is? Oh, yes, they're singing praises to him as they come through the Red Sea and the waters are parted and who was a God like unto thee? The part, you know, and so forth and so on. Now Judges chapter 2, you're not going to believe this. If you've never read this before, you wouldn't believe it. But you've read it. Judges 2:7, and the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. See, they got to know the Lord by all the works that they had seen. Verse 8, and Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old, and they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres in the mount of Ephraim on the north side of the hill Gash. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. And there arose another generation after them, out loud with me please, which knew not the Lord. Can you believe it? They don't know who he is. Nor the works which he had done for Israel. Folks, this is a mere scant 90 years later. And we look at our generation now and we think, wow, you know, well, people are going to always know who God, you know, things are going to stay the way they are. They're not. It is happening so fast right now that people don't know who God is. I mean, I look at the last 10 years, people do not know who God is. You wouldn't have believed that 10 years ago, that it is the way now. 10 years from now, I wonder what it's going to be like. That one-time deliverance where God revealed himself to the children of Israel, taking them through the Red Sea, 40 years in a, I mean, really, just take them 40 years before or 50 years before when they've come into the land of Canaan. And go to the miracles in the book of Joshua. What were some of the miracles in the book of Joshua that had happened just maybe 50 years before? Can you name some of the miracles in the book of Joshua? Rick? Jericho walls fall down. Folks, it had been a mere 50 years earlier. There's other miracles. The sun stood still, something that had never happened before. A mere 50 years. What was the year 50 years ago now? 1969. What has happened in our nation? What's happened in our world in the last 50 years, folks? Now you're seeing things written, you're hearing things on the news, like, I wonder if our nation will last another 20 years. I wonder what's going to happen to the churches. I was reading an article recently about churches and how they are going to start closing churches in America. Who? Well, really, we are going to be closing them ourselves because we're not taking a stand anymore. Because we don't know the Lord. We're all so consumed with trying to get people into the church. And so, you know, you get a small crowd here tonight. This is happening everywhere. Believers, you were delivered one time. The Red Sea crossing. When God saved you out of Egypt. But we need a constant reminder. So you've got that section of verse 46, but I'm gonna paste in there the other verses that have to do with now if we live continually in obedience to God. Here it is. And I will dwell among the children of Israel and will be their God. That's referring to what now? The tabernacle. And the end, that I may dwell among them, I am the Lord their God. I brought you out of Egypt. Now God has said, now construct the temple so that I might dwell with you. And so, if they live in obedience to God, continually in obedience to God, following the prescribed sacrifices, offerings, and the forms of worship, making a sanctuary for God to dwell with them, they shall know that the Lord is their God. And I will dwell among the children of Israel and will be their God, and they shall know that I am the Lord their God. The rites and the ordinances were to be performed through the tabernacle that they were to build as a continual reminder of the fact that I am the Lord their God, that he indeed dwells with them. And the New Testament reminds the believer of God's indwelling to motivate us to godly living. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Our body is this is the tabernacle. Even in the keeping of the Sabbath, there was to be a reminder, I am the Lord. So you see there in 29:46, I am the Lord who brought you up. Jump over to chapter 31. And notice verse 13. We're going to get to this someday. 31:13. Speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, verily my Sabbaths ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations. Out loud with me the last part. That ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. What is another way that they were to be reminded that God is the Lord? Through the keeping of the Sabbath. And then you get to chapter 32. What happens in chapter 32? Moses is still up on the mount. He's receiving the instructions that we're studying right now in chapter 29. Moses is up on the mount. Meanwhile, the people are down at the base of the mount. And what are they doing? 32:1. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, up! Make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. In 32:1, they have already forgotten who brought them up. They say it's Moses. And indeed it was Moses, even as the Lord himself declares in verse 7. Go to verse 7. And the Lord said unto Moses, go, get thee down, for thy people which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. But how did Moses do it? He did it by the hand of God, and he acknowledges that it was God. Look at verse 11. And Moses besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? So who brought the people out of the land of Egypt? Was it God or Moses? Yes. Who said yes? That's exactly right. It was both. God did it through Moses. But these people say, well, where's Moses? God is instructing him. Even while they're building their own gods, he is saying, I want you to construct a tabernacle so that I might dwell with these people. And these people with whom God wants to dwell in the meantime are building something which demands the wrath of God. It was God by the hand of Moses who delivered these people. And the people attribute it to Moses. By the hand of the God they create. Verse 4. Aaron received them at their hand, that is the gold and so forth, and fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made it a molten calf and said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. So in verse 1, they're saying Moses brought us up out of the land. And now, which God did Moses serve to bring them up? According to these people, it's this golden calf. Well, have they gotten to know the Lord? What can we learn from that? Well, here's something I want us to see here. When you attribute to man that which should be attributed to God, you are involved in idolatry. And we look at these people and we say, how can they do that? And they shouldn't be doing this. But we do the same thing. When we attribute to man that which should be attributed to God, we are involved in idolatry. And when you idolize a man, and that man disappoints you, as a man always will, you may go to another extreme. But in so doing, you will create your own God. And that's what they did. Unbelievers do this with Christians. Well, if that's what a Christian is, I'm not interested. But some Christians do this with other Christians. If that's what a fundamentalist is, then I'm not interested. And then they go to their own extreme. I have a friend who at one time would have called himself a fundamentalist, a pastor. Who would have called himself a fundamentalist. But he was disappointed by a few fundamentalists. So now the whole crowd of fundamentalists are bad. And so he's creating his own brand, which is always what happens, and goes off his own direction. And people, when they look at Christianity and they see hypocrisy, I'm not interested. So what do? Well, they go off and create their own God. The point is this. As long as we have our eyes on men, we're going to do the same thing that these people did. Men will always disappoint you. Your pastor will disappoint you. Your deacon will disappoint you. Your Sunday school teacher will disappoint you. You will always be disappointed by men. Get your eyes off of men and women and get your eyes on the Lord. As a Christian, you have been delivered a one-time event from Egypt the day you were saved. You know that God is the Lord. You know that. Now, are you living in continual obedience to him? Is your body indeed a sanctuary for him? Are you motivated to godly living? I want us to sing tonight in closing. I usually have Dave choose, but I chose tonight. Give Kayleen time to get to the piano while you turn to 458.